working our way through 1 and 2 Timothy, and then studying the book of 2 Timothy. Our outline goes a personal testimony in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, then present testings, chapter 1, verse 3, all the way to the end of chapter number 2. And then we are on chapter number 3, which outlining as predicted times and what Paul says to be looking for in the last days. And it really goes to the end of this book in our big outline, predicted times. And then we had letter A, approaching days of apostasy, which is all of chapter number 3 into a little bit into chapter number 4. We studied 2 weeks ago, deadly roots exposed in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, which brings us right to where we are, which is deadly fruits exposed. And so let's read this. I do have one more prayer request. Brother Salih is very sick, and he's not doing well. He wasn't able to go to church this morning, which he always goes, but he is not feeling well. And so if you would, please keep Brother Salih in your prayers that he would be feeling better. Brother Junior Pittman went over and preached for him this morning, but do pray. And they're supposed to be having their kids' crusade this week. Brother Price is going over there. They're still going to do it, as far as I know. So pray. Brother Steve won't be able to attend, but pray for Brother Price as he goes over there and ministers there at the church and does their kids' crusade for them. So chapter number 3, deadly fruits exposed. Let's just read, starting in verse number 1, though, and get it all. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And those are those deadly roots exposed that we talked about last time. Now, this is where we're picking up tonight. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but we'll do whatever we can, but we'll stop reading right there. And again, Paul's giving to Timothy, and for us recorded in the Word of God, that there are some things to be looking for in the last days. I believe that we are living in the last days. I can rest sure and confident on this, that we are closer today to the Lord's return than we've ever been before. Now, if you think about it, that makes sense too. But, all right, but he is returning. And when you see the news, you see the world that we live in, and current events and everything that's going on, you can see so much of what Paul was talking to Timothy about. And I believe the next event on the calendar of God is what we have deemed and called the rapture of the saints. I believe the Lord's coming back, and 1 Thessalonians talks about that with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, that all the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain, we will meet the Lord in the air. And I believe that's the next event that's coming. I can show you that from scriptures. We've studied that. But I believe that could be today. I believe that could be this hour. I believe we're so close that if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you don't know that you're going to heaven, I wouldn't even wait till the end of the service. I would come forward right now. Let someone talk to you about how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. And again, you say, I'm not so sure about that. Then watch these words that we're going to look at tonight. We aren't going to be able to study all these things tonight, but just think about the world we live in. Think about the news that you're listening to. All right? It's time, Christian, As Paul said, we need to be sober-minded. We need to start thinking seriously about our lives and what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not time to pack up shop. It's not time to, you know, just finalize things. And I believe now we need to reach out greater than we've ever done before. I've already been asking you to pray about another bus route. Pray about, say, why? Because we need to reach more. And it's hard to have these ministries. It's not, you know, even when I was a kid, you know, my favorite thing my grandpa ever gave away in a bus promotion was those Chinese yo-yos. You know what I'm talking about? Just a stick and that wrap piece of paper. I thought that was a cool, I still think they're cool, right? I used to love them things, and my grandpa passed some things out. I loved it, and every kid was just like, oh, gotta have a Chinese yo-yo. You know, everybody wanted one. Start announcing it, or I remember big days, my grandpa would give away a kite. Jesus loves you, it said on it, and I passed those things out, and those are cool. Those are huge, man. I can't believe a kite, in today's world, these kids are just like, you know, whatever. I'm going to stay home in my air conditioner and play my Xbox till 5 in the morning and then sleep till 5 in the afternoon. And you say, well, see, it can't happen. No, you just got to work harder. You're not going to outgive the world and entertain the world. But we have something much greater than that, right? So we got to build relationships with people, and it takes work. But it's worth it. Every soul that gets saved, it's worth it. Amen? And so, we you know, it's time to get busy in these things. So let's look at this real quick, these deadly fruits exposed. First of all, we see in verse number 3, the latter part, and to the first part of verse number 4, morality in these last days. Morality. Verse number 3, first of all, you see the deceitfulness of people. It says, truce breakers, false accusers. Again, this, you don't have to have a bachelor's degree in theology to figure this out, all right? You say, what are truce breakers? People that don't keep their promises. People that their word means very little. And Paul said, in these last days, people are going to say and promise all kinds of things, but they're just not going to keep their word. It's happening. I was talking to a man yesterday, met me here at church yesterday morning, and we were looking at some things around the building. He owns a business, and he was looking at these things, and he said, I have a job. I went to it yesterday. He said, I had enough work lined up for 5 men. He said, I've got me and 4 employees. He said, I showed up at the place. One guy showed up. He said, I can't get people to show up to work. And I hear it's not just him. It's everywhere, and that's part of truce breakers. Oh, I'll be there, and I want to go tomorrow. People promising things and not keeping their word, and it goes right with false accusers. Again, we're talking about deceitfulness of people. False accusers, what is that? People slander and degrade. It's because of pride. But it's part of living in a self-centered world where we want to glorify ourselves, so what it requires is tearing down everybody else. And if they have to lie about them or whatever the case may be, but there's no respect for others, there's very little respect for, and we just want to tear people down and whatever we have to say to make them look dumb, and if you don't believe me, watch the election. Both sides. And it's sad, truce breakers and false accusers, but you see the deceitfulness of people. Then you see at the end of verse number 3, the disposition of people. It says they're incontinent. Incontinent. That means this, they have no control of themselves. Their passions, their anger, their hatred, they have no control of themselves. Whatever they want to do, whatever makes them feel good, they're just going to do it. No sanctity of life, no concern for anybody else. They're just going to do whatever they want to do. You saw that, and I know I was in Colorado last week, but we saw that, and I didn't watch it. And I'm glad we were busy at the wedding and stuff out there. But I suppose that I've heard, and you've heard the same thing, that the opening of the Olympics was pretty rough. And they've made excuses, and I get that, and they can say whatever they want to, but the fact still, no matter what they say, it was filth. It was filth. The agendas that are out there and just whatever makes you happy, whatever express yourself, whatever makes you want to, whatever you want to do, that's going to get worse and worse and worse during the last days. Incontinent. No self-control. I can't even remember the last time I listened to the news in the morning and did not hear of someone getting shot. Incontinent. Just angry. Losing control. And we live in that world today. It's incontinent. I'll keep going for time's sake. Intolerant. Verse number 3, fierce. I wrote the word intolerant. They're incontinent, intolerant. They're fierce. Savage. Wild. Uncontrolled. Just blatant and blasphemous acts. And almost as if they dare you to tell them they can't. See the disposition of people, then you see the disdain of people. It says, despisers of those that are good. Part of the last days is going to be this. And I mean, already what we've talked about, if you can't see that in the world that we're living in, you need to get your head out of the sand, all right? That's everywhere. But despisers of those that are good. Paul says in these last days, there's going to be things that are good that are going to be told that they're bad. And already we study what's evil they're going to try to profess as being good. You and I will be marked as being bad. They'll use terminology like we're hateful. And no child of God should ever be hateful. I don't care who people are. I don't care what life they have chosen to live. We can stand for truth, but we can be a gentleman about it. We don't need to be jerks. We don't need to be hateful. We don't need to be mean. We need to be strong in the Lord. But you can be as nice, a gentleman, kind with your words. But because you do not accept their filth, you're going to be labeled as being hateful. That's despisers of those that are good. Things that are good are going to be looked at as being bad. Marriage is good. It's honorable. Tonight we'll celebrate 25 years with the Wilders. Marriage is honorable. It's good. The world wants to pervert what God says marriage is. Little babies are precious. But the world wants to paint it that they're an annoyance and a problem. And a hindrance in life to be disposed of like the garbage. No child of God should ever support anyone who would support the killing of babies. I'm not preaching politics, I'm preaching Bible. But we live in a world where that is considered right, and those that would want to protect these babies' lives are bad. Despisers of those that are good. The elderly, they should be taken care of and honored, not thrown away like the garbage. You say, well, that's not going on in this country. It is other places, and it will here. Christians should have no part in that. Things in other countries where there's assisted suicide and things like that, that's a perversion of what is good. That's wicked. The public school systems, what they're teaching as being good and right, is abominable before God. Having men dressed up in ladies' clothes with all kinds of makeup on and standing up there and perverting young children, there's a purpose in what they're doing. And it's to raise a generation that will look at the Bible, what the Bible teaches, and say, that's bad. despisers of those that are good. We live in a world, just like the Bible warned us about, that in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, what was going on in the days of Noah? They mocked the preacher of righteousness. They mocked those who were preparing for judgment. They laughed at them. They ignored them. In the last days, you'll see the same thing. As it was in the days of Lot, a world full of pride and perversion. We live in that world today. And again, I'm not running up and down the aisles tonight. I'm not trying to get you all excited or tell you a sad story. I'm just telling you facts that anyone that's living in 2024 should see and say, Paul wrote these things 2,000 years ago and said, when you see these things starting to happen, you better start looking up. Yeah. Well, these things are happening. Again, if you're lost tonight, if you say, what is lost? You don't know that where you're going when you die. Because everyone's going somewhere when they die. Life doesn't just end when your eyes close in death. Eternity begins when your eyes close in death. And I love you enough to please tell you to please consider what I'm saying, that everyone, the Bible teaches that when the soul is in departing, there's no such thing as soul sleep. When someone dies, they're not just in oblivion and sound asleep some weird mystical way. When someone dies, their soul departs. And for the child of God, those who have trusted in Christ, they're going to the presence of the Lord. Amen. To be absent from this body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. And they're in heaven with Him. But those who are lost, you say, well, I'll just oblivion. No, those that are lost, there's a rich man in the Bible, perfect illustration, that he denied Christ, didn't want anything to do with God. His eyes closed in death. And the Bible, the next thing it says, and he being in hell. Hell's a real place. And I don't tell it to you to scare you. I don't tell you to make you mad. I tell you because it's true. And I don't want you to die and go to hell. But hell's a real place, and you're going somewhere. And if you say, well, I'm not sure where I'm going, that's why the Bible refers to someone like that's lost. But you can leave tonight knowing where you're going. In 1 John, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants you to know. That man that was here yesterday, I was talking about, and we were discussing some things, and he was the one that said he couldn't get guys to show up at his work. And before he left, you know, Brother Slee and I were standing there, and Brother Slee said, you know, we started talking about heaven. Brother Slee said, well, you know, the world's getting wicked. Oh, it's getting wicked. He agreed. We need to know where we're going. He goes, well, he said, I'm trying to be a good person. And one of us said, he said, do you know where you're going? He said, to be honest, no. He said, I don't know. And I said some words, Brother Slee said some words, and I say some words, Brother Slee. And we tried to be kind and not pushy, and the guy said, I appreciate it. He said, I'm going to think about it. We gave him one of those tracts that was sent because we were standing out there, handed him a tract. He said, I promise I'll read this. But he left not knowing. Brother Slee and I, we both prayed. Our hearts were broken that he wouldn't make that decision. Because that man will spend eternity somewhere. And I'm praying he went home and read that. I'm praying next time I talk to him, he says, hey, I accepted this. You know, you heard Thursday night, there's a man that had lived a very wicked life named Jim, and just away from God, a terrible lifestyle, and his body bore the scars. He's, elderly man at the nursing home where Brother Elam has been ministering, and he's been trying to witness to him. And this past week, he came in the nursing home, and he told Brother Elam, he said, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Amen. And then Jim was back. He brought a visitor to their service at the nursing home. He was all smiles and joy. God is making a change in that man's life, and the difference is this. He knows where he's going now. God can do the same for you tonight. In these last days, you're going to see all these things. There'll be a disdain of people. We'll go on in verse number 4, the duplicity of people. says they're traitors. And there's always been traitors. I could go through the Bible and tell you about traitors. Ahithophel betrayed David. Judas betrayed Jesus. I could go through history. There's a guy named Arnold who betrayed America. There's traitors. And there will always be traitors. But in the last days, you're going to have a hard time trusting anybody. In the last days, people look at you and say, I got your back until you turn around. And what's sad is, to be a traitor, when I mentioned Ahithophel and Judas, the reason why we look at them with such disdain and what they did is because they put on a show like they loved. Ahithophel acted like he just adored King David. Judas walked with the Lord for 3 years. And I heard one time someone made this statement, and it, obviously it's nothing new, but it just kind of stuck with me. Only a friend can betray you. A stranger doesn't have anything to lose, right? And you're going to see that in these last days, the duplicity of people. And further on, we had the morality in the last days, and let's go on. We have the mentality of the last days. We keep reading, and first of all, in verse number 4, where we left off, there will be scornful maniacs. Look what I mean by that in verse number 4. Traitors, then it says heady, high-minded. Heady and high-minded. The word heady means reckless behavior. The word heady means this. It means riots. And riots, riotous living. Have you turned on the news? People just going out there and destroying for no reason. Anybody else watching the news? And we probably think about some things that's happened in our nation's capital and other cities, but it's not America. America's not, you know, the only thing going on. There's a whole big world out there. The UK, city after city, is being burnt right now from riots, riotous living. And what's interesting, that word high-minded, you know, my first thought, you know, without studying that word out, I just thought, well, they're prideful. But interesting enough, the word high-minded means to be wrapped in a mist or smoke, to become blinded, foolish, and clouded in the head. You say, what's that mean? I'll tell you. Stoned. Ohio. Congratulations, Goshen. You were chosen as one of the 19 with a license for recreational marijuana. I'm sarcastic in that congratulations, right? High-minded. You say, well, that stuff's not as bad as meth and all this stuff. And I get that. But I've also been to Colorado, where it's been legal for quite a while. I've been to Oklahoma, where it's been legal for quite a while. And you try to talk to people about spiritual things and things of eternal importance, they just can't follow you. They're able to function. But to have a serious conversation, you're like, ah, it's all right. If you don't believe me, go to Colorado. Go and start knocking on doors. I'm not saying everyone's doing that, but it's not going to get better, I'll tell you that. And that's what the word means. And in this heady and high-mindedness, this world that we live in, this pop culture and its, you know, reckless behavior and this drug culture that we have, and people just wanting to be out of their minds, and it's not going to get better. And as we see these things becoming more prominent, We're not folding up shop and saying, well, let's build a wall around the church and be in a commune, right? That's not what we're doing. It's time to get out there and win as many as we can. It's an exciting time. Amen. So you think the Lord's coming back this week? He might. But I'm ready to live the rest of my days. But I don't want to sit around and waste it. The Lord may not come back for 100 years. I got scripture. It says, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years here, right? But I also have scriptures that say that when you start seeing these things, you better wake up. There'll be a scornful maniacs, but also in verse number 4, there'll be secular materialist. And there's some big fancy words, but look at verse number 4. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Pleasure will become a god to people. There are some people, well, first I'll go big. There are churches that quit having church on Sunday nights. And I'm not fastened to a time. But I do believe the Bible teaches that they met in the evening on Sundays. Now, evenings, you want to study it all out, right? That doesn't mean 5:30 or 6 necessarily. It can be. But for the Jews, their evening started like 3 p.m. But they were meeting. And we can argue about all the little things, but here's the fact. You know why churches aren't meeting? Because no one's showing up. They quit coming. That's why I look around, because at Baptist Temple tonight, and say, thank you. Isn't it great? I mean, look around you. I have so many people on a Sunday night. I love people, guest preachers always look at, you know, look at the attendance when it's on the board. Nobody's sitting up here next to me. And, you know, they're like everyone else. They're nosy. And they're reading, you know, let's see what your offerings are at this church, right? And then they get to the attendance, and then they read how many were there on Sunday morning and how many were back on Sunday night. And they're always just like, wow. Yeah, you know, they're just like, good crowd comes back. I said, yeah, the great majority comes back on Sunday night, which is a testimony of the maturity and the faithfulness of God's people. But most churches are shutting the doors because they're not coming. Or on Sunday nights, we'll go meet over in a classroom because there's 6 of us that are showing up. I'm thankful that in these last days, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but so much more as you see the day approaching. We don't need less church in these last days. We need more preaching and teaching these last days. But people will begin to put anything ahead of God. A nap becomes more important. A television show becomes more important. A sport becomes more important. We become pleasure-seeking. Listen, mom and dad, don't put your kids in sports that are going to keep them out of God's house. I don't apologize for saying that. We're teaching them that pleasure is more important than God. We got to be very careful. Don't give them a little summer job working flipping hamburgers somewhere while they got to work on Sunday nights. Then they don't work at that job. You say, you're intruding in my life. No, I'm preaching to try to help us, because I don't want our children walking away when they're 18 like they are at most places. We need to keep them with their nose in this book and growing in the things of God. And I promise, they just practice these principles, they're going to be all right. So I want them to learn character. The greatest place to learn character is in the house of God with this book open. This teaches these things. Brother Marshall, when we were out in Colorado, right outside, he's about an hour to the west of Denver, and he told us, he said, when church is out this afternoon, he said, it's fine going back. We have to go west to their house, probably, I don't know, 10 minutes or so from where they meet for church. He said, but if you're going towards Denver, good luck. I think Miss Carol had to go towards Denver that day, right? All right, and sure enough, when we left, We pulled right out of that church and was heading west, but the other side of traffic, just packed. And he said, what happens is, he said, everyone, when I say everyone, you know what I'm saying. But everybody in Denver, when it gets the weekend, they all go into the mountains. Yeah. and they play all weekend. And then when Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening hits, they all got to head back to Denver because they have to go to work Monday. And the line was huge. I mean, they're 30 miles from Denver, and they were already backed up. That's crazy. Love is a pleasure. By the way, they weren't backed up going to church. Amusement. Social, by the way, can I just, are we okay tonight? We good still? Yeah. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Be careful how much time you're spending on social media. And social media, because it's influencing everybody, it's teaching people that, hey, you just need to play, rest, and get out as much work as you can. That's unbiblical teaching. He keeps painting these pictures like life's all about sitting on a beach somewhere and not having to work for the man, right? I love resting. God rested after he worked 6 days. God expects his people to work. And not just, especially Christians, but man to work. But we want to be, you know, involved in everything where it's just, hey, don't have to do anything, no responsibility. That's why video games are so unbelievably out of control. I love playing a game of Mario Kart. I'll play. I have no problem. I'll get beat. I used to beat everybody. It's sad in my life when those things. I used to always tell my wife, I would sit there and play Alex. He was like 4. I'd be ahead in a baseball game on the Nintendo, like 22-0. She'd be like, you were so mean. I was like, but someday, he's going to destroy me. I don't ever play him because I live in that day now. You know, I wouldn't, right? But I'm not on there much at all. I don't think it's a sin to play Mario Party with the whole family get together. I enjoy that. That's fine. I'm not talking about that when I make this next statement. But men, if you're on every night for 7 hours, I mean this with all the kindness and love of my heart. Grow up. Do something profitable. Go talk to your wife. Go spend some time with your kids. But we live in that world where everything's just pleasure. Pleasure. I'm great riding a roller coaster. That's fine. I'll make a visit every once in a while. You know what the word amusement means, though, right? Do not think. That's what it means. Just no thinking. Everything has, you know, go have a good time. Go fish. It's awesome. I've told you this before. God's never given me a bass boat. And there's a reason. He nor I trust me with a bass boat. There's other things that are more important. You say, well, I like doing some of these things. It's great. There's nothing wrong with doing them in moderation. But if you're spending all your money on amusement parks and video games, but you can't tithe, but you're so far in debt you can't pay your bills, but you keep finding reasons to go spend money on these things. I say it with all the love in my heart. Grow up. Don't be like this world that we live in that's the last signs of the last days. If you can spend 8 hours on average a day looking at your phone, but you haven't been soul winning, you never have time to pass out flyers for visitation. Time to change. Amen. You're becoming part of a last days culture. That's right. Everybody still love? Amen. That's the world of lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Number 3, I'm almost done. We're almost done. 1, it'll be scornful maniacs. 2, secular materialists. 3, I thought those were big words, sanctimonious moralist. Isn't that awesome? See, what are you talking about? Read verse 5, you'll get it, right? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And this just goes right with our Thursday sermon, and we'll wrap this up. You see what is revealed in verse number 5? That there will be an outward resemblance. Having a form of godliness. I said this on Thursday night. I'll say it again tonight. Part of the signs of the last days is there'll be a lot of religion. There'll be all kinds of religion. I stopped this afternoon after we did the bus route, and I stopped and got a couple balloons for Brother Miss Wilder tonight. But going in to get the balloons blown up, there was just the Crossroad Church. And I'm thankful for salvation being preached anywhere it's being preached. Paul said that. But we don't need religion. We need Jesus. We don't need social programs. We need the gospel. And in the last days, you're going to have all kinds of forms of godliness. But there'll be no power. You have all kinds of churches. Say, what's that talking about? No power. You have all kinds of people going to all kinds of religious places, but their lives won't change. I have all kinds of talk about loving people, and we should love people. But you can teach and dog to love. You can teach people to love. That doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Amen. If there's no salvation, if there's no regeneration, if there's no change, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old life will pass away, and there'll be something new when there's God's power there. And if everybody can walk around and be drunk and cuss like a sailor and then start sitting in some religious outfit on a Sunday and then go on Sunday night and drunk and be drunk and cuss like a sailor all week, that may be a form of godliness, but it's denying the power thereof. And I am a believer that that's specifically talking about places like our church. Because there's not a whole lot of form of godliness and cursing and drinking. But with our ties on and our King James Bible in our hand, we can sit in church. That doesn't mean the power of God's working in our life. That requires what we're talking about Thursday. So I want to know more about that. Come Thursday. I'm going to finish that sermon, all right? Yeah. But the fact is this, in these last days, you're going to see a lot of people going to church, but nobody's life changing. So what's required? Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, child of God, from such turn away. Again, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I got a phone call this past week, and there was a different denomination, a different church in the area, and they said, we'd love for Kazadel Baptist Temple to come with us, and they explained this thing they're going to do, going downtown and some needy and some issues, and I'm all for helping as many people as I can. They said, can we count on you to come? I was like, no. No. I love people. We're trying to help people. Amen. We started a church right downtown. Amen? Amen. We're going to try to help people. Amen. But I cannot join this ecumenical crowd that waters down everything and doesn't preach a gospel. Yeah. I'm thankful. Please don't get mad at me here. I'm thankful but the impact that people like Billy Graham made in the people that were saved. But towards the latter part of his life, he started putting his arm around Catholics and those who don't preach a gospel message. And I have to pull away from that. Again, don't get mad at me. From such, turn away. We have to be very careful with this ecumenical crowd. We cannot compromise and say, well, I know they teach that being baptized gets you to heaven, and they teach that, you know, rubbing these beads will get to heaven, and they preach that you can lose your salvation because it's all dependent upon you, and they preach that only certain people can get saved, and I can't put my arm out everybody and say, bring it in. You can't do that. There are some from such turn away. I don't think I'm better than them. I am not. There's zero pride in this statement. I'm just thankful this book is right. And I'm not asking you to stand with me. I'm not asking you to stand with any other person. We have to stand where the Bible stands. And I'm just telling you, what is revealed is that there will be many who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And what's required is we have to turn away. The doctrine of separation is still real and relevant today. Yeah. And there should be ecumenical separation. We should separate from those who are not preaching. It doesn't mean we're mean. I have some acquaintances in the area. There are pastors of other denominations. When I did the day of prayer down at Claremont County, I sat at the lunch table with the Methodist preacher in Owensville. And we started talking. We were kind to each other. No problem. And don't take. I love him. I love him. Because we should love everybody. I wasn't mean to him, and he wasn't mean to me. But we both smiled at one point and said, we believe differently, don't we? I said, yeah, we do. He hadn't been here to preach. And I've not been in his pulpit to preach. Not unkind. But I can't have him come up and preach here. There was a pastor's fellowship that we hosted one time, and one of the area pastors, he came to me and he said, hey, so-and-so is here, and he named the name of his church, and it was something like, I'll just make it, this is a made-up name, but it was like Norwood Church. He's like, can he preach? I said, no. He's like, what? And then he made the statement, he goes, well, I told him he had to use a King James Bible here, so he'll just use a King James. I was like, no. He said, you're not going to let him preach? I said, no. He said, why would you not let him preach? From such, turn away. Yeah. If he gets up here and preaches, I'm putting a stamp of approval from the pulpit and the people of Cazado Baptist Temple, and I can't do that. I was kind to him. I loved him. And there wasn't no, if that guy saw me out in the streets today, he'd hug me. You understand what I'm saying? There's no hatred. Amen. There's no pride. There's no anger. But who we fellowship with, especially in the last days, matters. Paul's going to go on and say a whole lot more, but we'll stop there.